Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Well, here he is, our music guy, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Let's start with, because there's a ton of stuff this morning, let's start with Burton Cummings.
Yeah, that was kind of a, you know, kind of, well, anything like this is a surprise, but he got into a bad traffic accident. Apparently, somebody ran a red light on him and, you know, crashed into Burton's car. He got a severe concussion, some cuts, bruising on his arm.
Where did this happen?
Hurt his leg. This happened in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And he posted photos on Facebook, you know, and along with a message, you know, basically saying, you know, he's having some post-traumatic stress issues, and he's trying to keep the perspective that he's happy, he's alive, and wasn't injured worse than he is. But obviously, he'll be sidelined for a little while. He's not up to flying and certainly not up to performing.
But for some reason, I want to say 75, 80 miles an hour.
You know, it sounds like not. You know, this was near an intersection. So,
how old is Burton now?
Burton is I think, in his early 70s.
Okay. All right. Lindsey Buckingham is reaching that age, too, but he's not going out on tour. He was addressing the Fleetwood Mac comments earlier this week.
Finally, he's been pretty quiet since it all came out. You know, of course, Lindsey is no longer in Fleetwood Mac. His place has been taken by Neil Finn and Mike Campbell from Tom Petty's Heartbreakers. Lindsey was playing at a political fundraiser a week ago last Friday, and he did address the Fleetwood Mac issue with the crowd, pretty much saying, I know you've heard some news about me recently. And he phrased it as that he's sadly taken leave of my band of 43 years, you know, rather than being fired or anything else. And then I guess he said that and somebody from the crowd shouted out, F Stevie Nicks. And, you know, Lindsey kind of sidestepped that, but did say he feels like some of his band members have, in his words, lost their perspective.
So did he act appropriately, or
What's he got to, you know, what's he got to gain, you know, by bashing them too?
Well, if someone is yelling F Stevie Nicks and he doesn't say, yeah, right on.
Yeah, no, he didn't do that. I think his comment was, well, it doesn't really matter. Although, as we know, he could have said, well, I have, and then he could have.
Or shrugs his shoulders like, eh.
I have.
But, he basically, what he did was criticize them for what he feels is damaging a 43-year legacy that they had worked, you know, so hard together to build. And, you know, he does note that the legacy is about rising above difficulties in order to fulfill one's higher truth and one's higher destiny. That's his quote. So that's what he's going to try to do now as a now ex-member again. An ex-member of Fleetwood Mac.
Well, here's a bunch of guys who know to stick together, and they've got a beer now, too, Def Leppard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems like that's something that bands like to do these days. Iron Maiden is on, what, their fourth or fifth beer.
Make some few Def extra bucks. Hey, why not?
Yep. Def Leppard joins the party now with a brand new beer that's called Def Leppard Ale. They're doing this in partnership with Elysium Brewery Company out of Seattle. It's apparently a 6% beer that's going to be released on May 23rd, which is just a couple days after the summer tour with Journey kicks off. Joe Elliott, the front man, says it tastes great. That's the most important thing I can tell you.
So. Some of these bands ought to break out of the box and figure out what people are doing when they're drinking beer and listening to music, like bowling, and come up with a Def Leppard bowling
Def
ball.
Def Leppard bowling ball or a bowling bag or,
something like that.
Or the bowling brew.
Right.
Cookouts. Come up with maybe
grill
utensils.
Some tongs.
Yeah.
You know,
stuff like that.
All sorts of branding possibilities.
Yeah.
Are we really still chasing death pictures of Kurt Cobain? Do we really need to keep going to court and going, nobody needs to see
those.
There
was a guy in Seattle, we call him a so-called journalist, but, you know, he's one of the conspiracy theorists. And, you know, he did file a Freedom of Information Act with the courts in Seattle to try to obtain the death pictures, but the court has ruled against him, saying, no, they're going to remain, the pictures will remain sequestered for now and not for public viewing, which is, you know, as it should be. Frances Bean, by the way, Kurt's daughter, Lust has been in a legal battle over the guitar he played on the MTV Unplugged, supposedly the last guitar Kurt Cobain ever played, at least publicly. It's a 1959 Martin, of which only 300 have been made. So the guitar is apparently worth millions of dollars just for being a rare guitar.
So who said that's my guitar, not your guitar?
Her ex-husband, of course. She and her ex-husband, Isaiah Silva, you know, they are divorcing. And in the divorce proceedings, he claimed that the guitar was a gift from Francis, and so he shouldn't have to return it. Francis said, no, I never gave it to him at all in any way, shape, or form. But as part of the settlement, she's giving him the guitar in exchange for not having to pay spousal support and keeping the house that they bought together. So she just basically made a decision to cut her losses and part.
So it was a financial decision is what
right.
it came down
financial
to.
Financial and I guess, you know, just peace of mind. You know, she wanted to be done with it already. So
how quickly will that be up for auction?
I would look on eBay now.
Okay.
No, it won't be eBay. It'll go to one of the big auction houses.
Christie's.
I think millions is a little bit, that's a little bit high, but I'm sure it'll net a comfortable six figures.
Okay. A couple of movies coming out. Queen has a movie trailer?
Yeah, Queen finally released the movie trailer for the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, and it's pretty quick. It's short, and it's very quick. You see a lot of stuff. You see the Live Aid performance. You see studio sessions.
So is this a documentary or is it scripted?
No. This is the one. This is the fictional, the biopic.
Okay.
And it's really a biopic of Freddie Mercury. It's taking a little heat from some LGBTQ quarters because it does not. It shows him flirting and dancing with women, but nothing with men. And so a lot of fans are saying, "Well, wait, is this a whitewash?" And whereas others are saying, "Look, this is the first trailer."
Is there video to be had?
Yeah,
of
between
him?
Now and between now and October, there's going to be more, you know, and so they'll probably roll more of that out. Then remains to be seen.
Royal wedding?
Yeah, Elton John supposedly. Spice Girls? No, we think.
No,
I won't believe it until I see it tomorrow.
Exactly. Elton John is supposedly doing something. They have not said whether it's going to be actually playing something at the church where he, you know, of course, played for the Princess Diana, Harry's mother's funeral, or if he's playing at the reception. You know, you'll recall Duran played at William and Kate's reception. So maybe it's Elton. Apparently not the Spice Girls. Spice Girls, by the way.
What do we know about them?
That we know
what do we
about?
Know for sure about
like
them?
Like I say, we'll know more, you know, sometime tomorrow. Spice Girls, by the way, since we like to talk about them, have apparently signed on for what they promise will be a very revealing documentary about the group. And, you know,
and if it finished with whatever they were going to do at the royal wedding, that would be good. And
that would
up
be
to
good.
Date.
Or with whatever tour they do, they say they're not going to do, or whatever other project they say they're not going to do, but they actually wind up doing.
How did they get formed up? Was it just like the Monkees, or were
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it was Simon Fuller over there in England put them together. You know, recruited and put them together.
American Idol, Simon Fuller?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, same guy. American Idol, by the way, is the finals this weekend, Sunday and Monday. On Monday, we will have a new American Idol, and it's going to be a star-studded couple of days. Not only are the judges, Lionel Richie, Luke Bryan, and Katy Perry performing, but also you're going to have Darius Rucker, Nick Jonas, Mustard, BB Rexha, Patti LaBelle, Yolanda Adams, Gary Clark Jr., and Kermit the Frog.
And this comes on the heels of Carrie Underwood when? Last week?
Carrie Underwood was last week.
Yeah.
So they're finishing strong, and as we talked about, I think last week or a couple weeks ago, it has been renewed for another season on ABC. So we'll have more American Idol to kick around.
Why do women's groups want Aerosmith and Don Henley and the Chili Peppers off of Spotify?
They're saying that look, if you're going to kick off R. Kelly and Extension because of, you know, rumors and reports about sexual misconduct and abuse, then you ought to turn towards, in this case, they're saying the white male rock stars, you know, including Ted Nugent, Don Henley, Steven Tyler, the Chili Peppers, you know, they ought to be off too, and, you know, you shouldn't be hypocritical. And, you know, just be and not look at other people who have been accused of any sort of sexual misconduct. So we'll see how this is an advocacy group called Ultraviolet. And, you know, we'll see how successful they are or not. I'm betting on not. You know,
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Spotify would be down to what? Nothing, right?
You know, if they did that for everybody, you know, who was accused of some form of sexual misconduct, probably. it'll be interesting to see how Spotify responds, though, because they are in a position they'll have to respond and they'll have to explain. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where they draw the line and how that falls, because again, you've got a racial component to this.
All right, and finally, you get to pick the last one, Gary.
Well, I think we need to acknowledge that today is the 1 year anniversary of Chris Cornell's death. Certainly felt here in Detroit, where of course he played his last show on the night of the 17th, which I was at, you know, with Soundgarden, and it's still a year later, a very surreal feeling, you know, to know that you went home buzzed from a really good Soundgarden concert and woke up the next morning to find out this guy had committed suicide. His widow Vicky has called for a vigil and a celebration out in Los Angeles today. I'm sure. I have a concert down by the venue where Soundgarden played a year ago, and I'm sure there's going to be flowers and signs and other monuments down at that venue. And Vicky also apparently still is being harassed by conspiracy theorists who think it was not suicide that Chris, you know, may have been killed. There may have been some plot to kill him. She's blaming the coroner here in Detroit on that, because when the coroner issued its preliminary report, it said that drugs did not have anything to do, or it says that his death was not caused by drugs, you know, when in fact the family's contention is, no, it was what he took that caused him to commit suicide. So they're saying that because...
So a little bit of a two-step process, though.
Exactly. So, but hopefully, you know, the way you really need to remember all these people, whether it's Tom Petty or Prince or George Michael, whoever's passed, is to remember them with their music and remember them for their music, and not so much for the tragedy.
All right, Gary.
All right, we will talk again next week.
Counting on it.
Okay, take care.
Talk to you then, Gary Graff. He's our music guy. You get him every Friday morning.